Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to another wonderful, life-changing episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. We are here once again tonight to expand your mind on the definition of Islam and the definition of Muslims, and let's be honest, the definition of life as a whole. And ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, please welcome the man of the hour, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace to all our listeners across the world on Facebook Live, and even to those who will be listening to this via podcast. I welcome you all tonight to another episode of Raw Islam. And I'm just lost for words as Carl has just articulated the description and definition of this podcast. What is the purpose of this podcast? I was planning to begin tonight by asking him, what is Raw Islam about? And I felt that it was an important question only for us to remind ourselves as co-hosts of this show and to all our listeners out there that we're not here just to talk for 30 minutes. We're not Fox and Friends. We're not CNN and we're not MSNBC. We are talking about something specifically, and we are approaching the matters of our world in our day-to-day affairs from a very unique angle of approach. That being said, I want to thank Carl for the introduction, wherein he actually hit the nail on the head. We're really talking about life and how the things that occur around the world, how they impact us, how they affect us positively or negatively, because we all are here on this earth together and we all have this one and unique opportunity, which is called life. And our goal should be to make the best from it and the best out of it. So Carl, you know, it's amazing sometimes that we kind of just reflect as to what could be the topic of next week. And, you know, there's so much that pours out in the news that I think I said it a few weeks ago, we could have over an hour discussion as we recap the news itself and try to put the Islamic twist to it by discussing what Islam says regarding certain issues. Last week talked about service, Martin Luther King, and three very important points of honest service and earnest service towards humanity. The call for the, it's the calling of our world in the world that we live in today, Carl. But I don't want us to get so caught up in the news itself. Rather, I want us to pull the curtains down and see what's happening behind the news. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because there's so much that happens, and there's so much that sometimes we don't always talk about, and there's stuff that we miss. But there seems to be a driving task or a driving point behind all of it. And you want to talk more about the, rather than the headlines, you want to talk about what's behind the headlines.
Correct. And you, again, just very well articulated that we want to go more deeper as to what's the driving force behind the systematic downfall. And this morning while I was briefly watching the news over breakfast, one of the lawmakers who was being interviewed up in Washington was talking about how this isn't about a person. This is about a systematic trend. And I don't want to talk about the political aspect of this trend, but I want to talk about the religious aspect and the religious implications because of this trend. We all know in the last few days, there's been a lot of discussion about the president speaking about Africa, which is a continent, and Haiti, which is a country, as holes of manure or feces in a more respectful language. Of course, it hurt. It hurt many of us. It hurt almost all of us because we know that's a derogatory statement. We know that's upright racist. And we know that there is no place for that in our world, especially after what we witnessed in the 60s. And that was a result of a driving force that led to systematic oppression and segregation and racial actions, which played out in the 60s during the rise of the Black Lives Movement with Martin Luther King and taking down segregation and separation and allowing humanity to live together. We're seeing a repeat of that trend, Carl. And what I want to talk about is that I'm not going to talk about his statements, even though just for my listeners to understand, my mother was born and raised in Uganda, and my grandfather and his generations were Kenyans. So I have African blood within me. And unfortunately, one thing that many people don't understand is Africa is a very rich, prosperous nation that has been plagued with corruption both internally and externally, which has imploded it from becoming the great continent that it could have become in this world. It could have easily, due to its resources, surpassed the Americas, both South and North, and Europe, and possibly neck and neck with Asia. But again, it is what it is. Just to relate, Africa is not a country, it's a continent. It consists of many countries, and all of its people are not in skin color. They are not dark, but there are white, there are brown, there are olive, and there are black skin colored people there. But again, I'm not even going to go into racism. I was actually thinking we'll talk about racism and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till his last sermon in the Hajj during the day of Arafah, reminded his companions as he summarized his 23 year mission at that time of propagating the message that there is no place for racism in Islam, by saying the words, and I would quote, I would broadly quote, that there is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab over an Arab, not a black over a white or white over a black, illa bi taqwallah, except through piety of God, and only God could gauge that piety. And hence, since mankind or humankind are not able to discover or detect or to calculate what piety truly is, it's not in our playing field to be judges, and thus we are not permitted through Islam to segregate racially or otherwise within humanity. But I don't want to go there. I want to talk about a bigger picture that's being played out, Carl, and that is called the failure of trust. Tonight we want to talk about what this whole universe is functioning off of. I'm not going to talk about a scientific aspect or approach. I'm not talking about medical approach. I'm not talking about IT. I'm talking about the grand scale of things which the master and the creator had presented. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord Almighty, created everything, he presented trust. What was that, Carl? I forgot. What did he present?
Trust.
Trust. And he presented trust, as he says in the Quran in chapter number 33, verse number 72. I want you all to read this tonight if you get a chance. That verily we presented trust. Now take trust like this tissue box. I'm going to pick up this tissue box here. This is called trust. It's a tissue box, Carl. It looks funny, right? Well, it's one of those covers you put on top of a tissue box, but it's a regular tissue.
No, I'm just trying to figure out the correlation between trust and the tissue box, so please continue.
So if we say trust, there's no body to trust. Trust is just something that we perceive, that we expect, that should be part of our normal life. I should be able to trust you. You should be able to trust me. Parents should be able to trust their children. Children should be able to trust their parents. A spouse should be able to trust the other spouse, vice versa. We should be able to trust our hierarchies and our leaders, and they should be able to trust us as the ones who have put position of making decisions for the betterment of society. Trust goes very far, but trust is like anger. There's no definitive description of anger that you can face to it. So if we took this tissue box and say this is trust, Allah says that I presented trust to the earth, to the mountains. I said to them, look, all this is done. I've made it. Take it. Take it and run with it. You know, you get a job from your employer. He tells you what he wants to see accomplished. He gives you the necessary resources and tools and funds for it. And then what did he say to you? Run with it. Go. Do what you have to do. I just want to see this done. And I don't want any complaint or any excuse tomorrow that, you know what, we could have done this, but due to the lack of this, that, and the other, we couldn't accomplish that. I put everything at your disposal. Use it, but make sure you accomplish the goal. That being said, Allah said to the skies, the great skies that we are still exploring out in the universe, we're finding new planets, we're finding stars, and what else we're finding out there, Allah presented to it. You want to take the trust, the key of running this whole thing? Allah presented to the land, the earth, this vast earth. He said, do you want to take it? Allah turned to the mountains, the great rocky mountains that stretch parts of America, the Himalayas, K2, Everest, and so many more mountains in this world that, you know, I cannot even name. They all said what, Carl? They said no. They said to God, their creator, no God. We don't want it. They said, we don't want it because we're not worthy to uphold it. It is such a great responsibility. We cannot uphold it. You follow me on this? So.
No, I was just going to say, yes, so far I'm with you.
Yeah, okay. So when they all said no, humankind stood up and said, God, give it to us. We will ensure that relationship between all those that I described and the relationship between humans and jinkind and animals and agriculture, the land and the water in the mountains, that trust remains harmonious in this whole creation of God. Humankind said, God, give it to us, we'll take it up. And God calls human ignorant and transgressors. I'm reeling this in tonight, Carl. We started with the incident post Martin Luther King Day, which was yesterday. And prior to this, we discussed the importance of Martin Luther King Day in service in last week's segment. And between these two times, Allah has transpired. We're not going to racism or racial remarks. We're not going to the color of people's skin. We're not going to go into that. We're going into trust because I want to go into the driving force behind that. So when God said, take trust, everyone said no, but we said, yes, give it to us. And God says, you're transgressors and you are ignorant of what you just took on. So Carl says, I got a task. It involves $20 million and it may make you pull your hair out. You might have to take blood pressure pills because it's a really tough job. People at that time, when you give them all the side effects, if they're smart enough, they're not going to take it. They're like, you know what? Keep it. I don't want it. I don't care if it's $50 million. But the crazy one will stand up and say, hey, give it to me. And ultimately, he will commit suicide trying to fulfill it and accomplish it because he knows that he can't do it. So we're talking about trust here. What's happening right now is on a macro scale. We're not talking micro scale. Micro scale has been already compromised. In a house, a husband and wife cannot trust each other. In a house, parents cannot trust their children, nor could children trust their parents. Did you hear about that story last night from California, Carl?
I did. That was a very sad and scary story. I'm not really sure. I was trying to follow up on it today and I didn't get much of a follow up, but it was like 13 people children from ages 2 to 20 something chained to their beds or whatever. And I was just like, how can a family do this to their own family members? It's so
and
sad.
These are parents doing this to their children. It's sick. It's demonic. It's barbaric. It's inhuman. But it's happening. So as I'm saying, we all know that trust has been lost in the micro scale. It's been lost systematically from the soap operas that were played during the daytimes to create this mistrust, to the TV that we watch, the music that we listen to the societal trends that are developed. Trust has been lost in every aspect. Now we're taking it up a notch. We're going to a macro scale. Trust has been lost within our elected officials. And it's evident by what transpired this weekend when a comment was made and the news broke and no one spoke about countering it. And then when they were confronted, they said, I can't recall. And then they said, he didn't say it. So it's like, you said you can't remember him saying it. And then you said he didn't say it. And now they're saying this morning, he didn't say S hole, he said S house. So they're coming from S houses, from feces houses, not feces holes. So you can kind of make us feel a bit better. We didn't come from a hole in the ground. We have houses with a roof on top, but just made out of feces. The problem here is, Carl, and I'm going to take it now, and I'm going to bring it in now. I'm going to reel this one in. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is sitting down talking to his companions. And a Bedouin, and when our history or our Quran talks about the Bedouin, or it talks about in the Hadith, in the traditions of the Prophet, the beauty of the Bedouins were, they were clean at heart, they were rough in their conversational methods, they would be very abrupt, but they meant good. So a Bedouin came and stood up and said, O Prophet of God, when is the day of judgment? When is the day of judgment? And he stayed quiet in the sense that he ignored him and he continued his conversation. So like you come in and start asking me something and I'm going to keep on talking with my people. Like I'm ignoring you. And so he kept on asking, he kept on ignoring him until the man stopped asking. And then after a bit, the Prophet stopped. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, said, where's the man that's asking about when is the day of judgment? And he said, I am the one. He goes, when trust will be lost. When trust will be lost. He goes, when will trust be lost, O Prophet of Allah? Because trust was such an integral part of a harmonious society, which is part of the Sharia, like it or not, for those who are Islamophobes or who are brainwashed by the systematic trend of Islamophobes, trust was the most integral part of upholding the society. You talk about jizya and taxes. You talk about women being gowned and from this and that. Remember, there was a trustful society where a church could be left open and no one dare desecrate it, where a temple could be left open and no one dare enter it to harm it, where mosques could be left open throughout the night and no one would go in there and put fire to it. There was trust. What we're seeing today is everything that's happening, use this metaphor and apply it to the incident. Trust is being lost. I told you, we're not talking about micro scale anymore because it has happened successfully, systematically. The micro scale, there's no more trust. Let's take it to a macro scale. So the Prophet was asked by the person, when is the day of judgment? He said, what, Carl? When?
Trust is lost.
When trust is lost. He then inquired, when will trust be lost? And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when authority is given to those who are not worthy of it. When power is given to those who are not worthy of it, then wait for the day of judgment. What does that mean? We could just apply that to this incident that we're talking about. That the fact that such statements are uttered, and then they are covered, and then they are forgotten, and then they are changed. You can't trust a person. I was watching Shark Tank last night, and these guys came in, and they're talking about how they got this new soap that can wash your clothes made out of these beans from South America. And they said, we have capitalized on 90% of the market, and the market's 100 million. So he said, okay, so that, what does that mean? That means you're 90 million, right? He said, no. I meant something else. So if you've capitalized on 90% of the market, that means you've got 90 million of assets. Like you're 90 million in. But when you're saying you capitalize and then you say, no, I haven't. What have I just done there, Carl?
You lied, which violates trust.
And when, because of violation of trust, two of those sharks said, you know what? We're out. We're out. Because you didn't know your numbers. How could you not know your numbers? You're out. So two people lost investors because of an ill statement. And they had nothing to gain from it, but they lost. Here in our society, as trust on a macro scale is being given to those who are not worthy of it, and their actions are evident of the fact that there's a constant and continuous violation of trust, the Prophet said, peace be upon him, fantadrisa'a, wait for the day of judgment. What does that mean? Is the day of judgment happening now? No. We are entering into the next phase of things, and it's all due to our failure. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, if you see something wrong, change it with your hands. If you can't, change it with your mouth. If you can't, then know in your heart it is wrong. That's the least level of faith. Because remember, faith is also about integrity. Faith is also about what is right. Faith is also about upholding goodness and truth and justice. So the fact that nowadays, forget changing with your hands. And changing with your hand means ballot boxes here in America, my friends. And it means protesting in a civil manner. It means writing to your senators or calling them. That's change with your hand. What's change with your mouth? Vocalizing yourself by making people know that this is not acceptable. And if your words fall on deaf ears, your heart should never say, if you can't beat them, join them. But that's exactly what's happening in our society. We have to accept that this is going to be the new way. This isn't the new way. This is the wrong way. And this wrong way leads to a dead end, into a brick wall, where everyone who's going to hit it is going to be injured, if not severely hurt. That being said, the Prophet said a time will come that the believers will be like camels. You may find 1 out of 100 that is suitable to ride on. You know, not all camels you could jump on and ride like a horse. It's very difficult to ride a camel. So it's very hard to select the right camel that can be used for the mode of transportation. Whereas for the mode of transporting goods, you could throw it on the back of any camel. So Carl, my point tonight to our listeners is very simple. Do not forget that trust is the backbone from the creator of the universe that needs to be upheld. And the more we let this slide, while having the ability to question, the ability to negate, the ability to confront, the ability to change with our ballots, the ability to re-educate our children that this is not the way a world is supposed to function, we may seize the great storm that is about to come. But if we're like, you know what, it is what it is, I got bills to pay, I got work to do, then you know what? We all are involved and responsible for this great violation of trust.
I feel like I'm supposed to follow that with something wise and insightful and meaningful, but you've pretty much summed it all up, which is that if we don't trust each other and we don't have trust in our leaders and we don't have trust in those around us, we've lost way more than just, you know, whatever's been lost in front of us. You know, oh, you lost that job. Oh, you lost this, you lost that. But if you've lost that trust, It's a total different conversation. And trust is so difficult to rebuild once you've lost it.
And Carl, that's why I'm pushing this tonight, because there was some momentum online that people are saying Oprah Winfrey should run for office. No, she shouldn't. I equate her to Trump in many ways. She's not a politician. She has no experience, both military and also political. She doesn't have the ability to run a country. Yes, she's affluent. Yes, she's a celebrity. Yes, she has many great qualities. But that doesn't mean you put someone who is not worthy in the seat of a position that requires an important figure. Same thing is happening in our mosques, for example. People who are scholars are not being trusted. People who are not scholars are speaking smack, and they're getting away with it. I want to end with this one. It's so sad. I'm sitting in the Friday sermon in one of the largest mosques in the city, and a guy is giving sermons because he loves giving sermons because he's a retired doctor, and he keeps on saying things which are so problematic. I wanted to jump up in the khutbah and say, what are you saying? He's trying to state that this saying of the prophet is not correct. According to this person, it's not correct. And the prophet would never grieve. I'm like, what is this person saying? This is the problem. Forget the world right now. I want the Muslims to understand that we have violated the trust within our own faith. I've never been to an interfaith forum where the leaders of other faiths were improvised with doctors and physicians and professors and engineers as much as I've seen the inclination of the Muslim community to improvise in the highest authoritarian seat of our faith, which is leaders of our faith and leaders of our community, with people of other skills and academic success. Again, we are violators of trust. I am violating trust in many ways. If we don't return back to diminishing this macro skill loss of trust to the micro, we are going to lose out. So with that, we leave our community and we leave you all tonight with a simple message. Trust is being violated. What are you willing to do to uphold trust before it's lost?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. I would like to thank all of those that joined us online, all of those that join us on iTunes, all of us that join us on YouTube. And yes, you can find us over on YouTube. I would like to thank everybody that tuned in and watched tonight. And until next week, which will be every Tuesday here on Facebook, Venn Network, just look for us, bookmark page, like us, follow us. We will see you next week. So, yeah, I tripped over my own tongue there. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Of Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.